Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts every week from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in.
We are back with another episode of Lending Forward, and I'm really excited about this guest. We were actually just chit-chatting. I've known this guest for over 10 years, and I respect this guy and value his opinions, and I'm super excited to have him on to talk through a little bit of the NAR settlement and how it's impacting lenders. So, Mr. KP, how are you?
How are you? Good to see you. Gosh, over 10 years. Back to the AMC days when I was living in South Florida. Whew.
It is wild. A lot has changed in 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely changed. And I mean, obviously the industry's changed a lot. And I think the biggest, newsworthy thing of for the past, months, I guess, is this NAR settlement. And it's wild. Oh. And I think lenders and agents and, just everybody's freaking out. There's news everywhere. Some's true and some's not. We're talking to a lot of agents, but I really want to get your opinion on it. Like I said, I do value your opinion and I respect what you have to say about it. But before we dive into that, for our listeners that don't truly understand what's going on, help us understand the settlement. Do you mind kind of breaking it down for us?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, and just to disclose, my perspective is from a lender perspective, right? So we have three channels. We've got retail, 700 loan officers, a couple hundred branches, satellites. So we're boots on the ground. We're in the communities. And we have a wholesale channel and a correspondent channel. And then, within that correspondent channel, we do delegated and non-delegated. I'm hearing about it a lot. Love and respect your leadership team. They're so great. I get to see them all the time on the road. I bet March was crazy. I was like five conferences. I basically slept in my bed just a couple nights. March is tough.
And everyone, I think you've seen my leadership team more than I have.
That's probably true. And they rock. You know, a bunch of, freaking high powered women you guys put on the road. They're just amazing. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, everyone's been talking about this NAR settlement because most distributed retail companies like ours together, we have originators that, work together with realtors in the community, so there's this kind of, tour de force. Like, how do you guys work together, both realtor and originator, and build the community and serve consumers and borrowers? And it got changed a little bit by the NAR settlement. I'm more of one that is saying we're going to be able to roll with this because I don't think the structure of what it gets done on the ground change. Like, there's this army of people out there, realtors who are amazing and have so much that they do that didn't change overnight.
Right.
Same thing with the originator. Literally the only thing that, the headline number is insane, right? Like 420 or 60 million settlement and all these other real estate companies, they all settle. Like, the numbers are enormous. And the headline is about commission. Mm-hmm. But it's really just a disclosure, right? So, if you look at a lot of regulators and what regulations is about, it's about disclosing. And so really the main thing to change is just, the selling side of a transaction cannot dictate how much the buyer has to pay in commission. You just can't put it out there. You can't have it be set in stone before you even look at it. And so, inside the MLS, inside the multiple listing service, which is really the data set where everybody's eyeballs, whether it's on realtor.com or all these other websites out there, that media that puts out all that information, they just can't dictate the commission ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So all it does is just force a new kind of way of talking about how buy side agents are going to get paid. Mm-hmm. And so and there are a lot of agents that already negotiate, their fees, already, and disclose with the borrower, hey, this is how I get paid, or this is how much my time is worth. And let me tell you my value, mm-hmm. And so it isn't like I'm 3% or else, like, you know, now they may say that, but the selling side can't say that to the borrower before even talking to their realtor on the buy side, right? So there's one negotiation between the buyer's agent and the borrower, and then there'll be another negotiation between that team right there when they want to make an offer on a house and the selling side, which is the seller. And if they have representation, which they should, especially now with a sell side agent. So it's just a kind of a saying, hey, this is how it's supposed to work, right? Mm-hmm. Like the size of the army, the need for the army, the boots on the ground, all the work that gets done. Like there's a lot of work that has to get done in a transaction. That did not change. I mean, it just didn't change. It's hard, especially if you're mm-hmm. a first-time home buyer, to navigate the biggest purchase of your life. You need an agent.
Yeah.
So you know, and there are better agents out there, right? And so I think this extra conversation that buy-side agents have to have now, which is like, hey, here's how much I charge you. You know, what about borrowers? Yeah, I mean, you know, borrowers, you know, if someone's not a good agent, like that agent needs to like sharpen their skills and kind of maybe go through a little bit more tough conversations, maybe lose some transactions because, you know, they don't have a history or they don't have a reputation built up online. So maybe the borrower is like, you know what? I don't think I want to use you. You know, mm-hmm. you're in charge of me. What? You know what? I'm going to find someone else. So then you go, you know, and I'll just give an example. So, you know, I'm here in Southern California. I moved here from Fort Lauderdale 8 years ago, and the mortgage business got kind of tough the last 2 years. So I split
just a little bit.
Little scooch. So, and I have four kids and I live in Newport Beach and like, it ain't cheap. So, I started fixing and flipping houses on the side, and my partners who I went to University of Texas with, this couple, my buddy Jason, he's an architect. He's amazing. He's a great designer. His wife was the real estate side, and she worked for a listing agent that wasn't giving her marketing support. Mm-hmm. And our house sat there for about 3 months. And I'm like, so this is what I said. This is kind of funny. This kind of accentuates the point. You know, there are better agents out there, right? Now, here in LA, I don't watch TV, but like, I know who the Altman brothers are, right? Like they're on TV, you know, like I said. So I said to my partners, my buddy's wife, you know, like Britt, like, you know, your broker is not giving you any marketing support. He's not helping you push this. You can't just put a listing out there of a beautiful house and expect it to sell, especially like last summer when things were mm-hmm. I said, you know what? Just call the Altman brothers, you know, like, you know, now I don't know who these guys are, but like they're on TV. So, you know, I guess they're good. So, you know what? She called them.
Oh.
She called them. Their team got with her, walked the property. She co-listed together with them and they used their Rolodex, and we were under freaking contract and sold in 2 months.
That's awesome.
And so, yeah. So I use that as a point that there are better agents on the buy and sell side, and they are worth it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you get what you pay for. All right. So if buyers are like, you know, I'm just going to spend X amount of money, you're not going to get what it takes to negotiate the contract and find the house and do all the stuff it takes. And that goes for both buyer and seller. So I still think value is value and people's time is worth it, especially for borrowers and buyers and sellers on the largest purchase they make in their life. And by the way, there are such thing as a first time seller, right? So,
yeah.
So sometimes, you know, people are selling a house. They've never sold a house before. Like, you know, do you just take every offer that comes through the door, or, you know, every letter you read that you fall in love with the couple that's buying your house, you know, like maybe you want to maximize the amount of money, mm-hmm. you know, so you want to get with someone who's an experienced sell side agent. So I don't think anything has really changed other than a couple things in the conversation and a couple points of disclosure on the buyer's side commission, once with engaging with the agent that they choose, and then again with the sell side. Now, I will just make two more points here. The sell side right now in a market where we're generally undersupplied, sell side has a lot of control and power right now. Mm-hmm. But it's not always going to be like that. Okay. It isn't always like that. And it's hard to believe because since 2008, we've been in like, you know, once we got through that global financial crisis, say let's call it 2012. We've been in a seller dominated market mm-hmm. in this transaction, but people are staying in their house longer. They're living longer. People aren't having, now you and I are the exception, but the birth rate is not keeping up with the death rate. But you and your three boys.
We are doing our part to keep the birth rate up.
I say that all the time. Like, I'm doing my part, you know? And at least, you know, you're a good human being. So, you know, you're doing, your boys are little kings, but you know, I got three girls and a boy, but the point is, you know, people aren't like, the birth rate is not keeping up. We are, after this little wave of millennials, which is the largest first time home buyer segment currently, mm-hmm. even larger than baby boomers. That population number will come down actually. And so you could see this market flip to where buyers are calling the shots.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to think that. Now, of course, an offset would be immigration, a lot of immigrants coming through. That's a lower price point initially. And then, you know, there's some whole things to work out. And of course, every community is different. But we could be in a buyer dominated market in 3 to 5, maybe 7 years. It mm-hmm. is something. And so how does this conversation flip when the buyer is in control and the seller, is like, hey, I just need to get this thing, you know, I need to get this thing sold for the right, you know, price. We're a little oversupplied. I need yeah. the right buyer with the right agent and the right originator. And so it does work in multiple different kinds of markets. And I know no one's thinking about that future state, but we could be in a buyer dominated market at one point, as opposed to the seller dominated market we've been used to for quite some time.
Yeah. And you said something, I think it was in one of your LinkedIn videos, but you said, you know, you like the strength in numbers approach, or you called it a strength in numbers approach. And I think you're right. Like you have a team, you want the right team, and that team knows how to articulate their value. And unfortunately, you do have to add another disclosure to the packet, but you know, that's the way it's going to be. But, you know, I think a lot of agents are fearful right now. They think their commissions are under attack. So how are you, coaching your team or talking to your referral partners, kind of helping them navigate this settlement?
Well, just yesterday, our retail channel, the first Thursday of the month, our guest speaker for the last half of that hour long meeting was Marty Kier, who works for Polensky and Beidle out of Texas. Mm-hmm. He's on like this commission board in the state of Texas, and he went through every detail as an attorney. And man, that guy had it down. And by the way, reach out to him, you and your team, maybe have him as a guest on Lending mm-hmm. Forward or for Atlantic Bay. He was great to hear him talk about it. In fact, Bear Habib from MBS Highway wanted to listen in on our call and hear him. So he was a guest on our call and spoke at the end. So we're doing a lot of education for our originators. We're doing a lot of outreach, with our real estate partners and letting them know, you know, what we're thinking, what our thoughts are and what our plan is. And, we also just like kind of fortuitous timing, but, you know, in the fall last year, we rolled out REP, a real estate program. I know your team is also piloting that as well. Where you're going to real estate partners and saying, you know, in this strength in numbers approach, you know, let's work together. And there's even a commission element for mm-hmm. the real estate side, right? And so if realtors think their commission is under attack, and maybe on a deal by deal basis, maybe, you know, maybe in their market, maybe there's some savvy borrowers who are attacking their commission and they had mm-hmm. to kind of, you know, maybe that happens, you know, I don't know. We'll find out in July, right? And so this REP that we're doing, we're allowing real estate agents, if they get licensed as an originator, to take part in the commission side of it. It's not a huge program. It's not like, it sounds earth shattering, but you know, it's for the right relationship. It's very local. There's 1.4 million realtors out there.
Yeah.
And that's down from, I believe, 1.8 or 1.9. The origination side, there's 50% less originators than there were 2 years ago. So again, this strength in numbers approach at the local level, for these teams to work together and empower each other, you know, to help build their communities and serve, you know, borrowers. It's something that is taking place. The ground has, you know, shifted a little bit right underneath us, you know, as we're taping, there was a freaking earthquake in New York City, today. I mean, you know, I think God's saying something like, hey, y'all's crime's all bad and the rats are too much and y'all need to chill out. Something's going on. I'm just, you know, I'm watching anyway. We have this program. It's a small release and, you know, we've got maybe a dozen realtors that are working on it, but, It's nice to have that as an option in your back pocket to strengthen that strength in numbers approach at the local level.
How is, you know, going through, because we do have, you know, agents that listen in, how have you seen the CE process going? Because, you know, getting licensed as an originator and getting licensed as a realtor are very different. So how was that process for your realtor partners?
Well, it's fun. I mean, that is the big differentiating factor. I mean, if a realtor wants to get paid, for us in our program, that realtor must get licensed. So we're not trying to shotgun it out there and just let any realtor just make some money. Cause that is kind of like, you know, remember we have a wholesale channel, right? And a correspondent channel. And so they would feel threatened or attacked if we allowed that. And we don't. And some of our competitors do, you know, there are some broker shops that allow that. So again, for us, it's a small batch. It's a limited release. You know, I'm just got back from Louisville. Like, I've got all my bourbon lingo, right? So, we like for them to get licensed. We like for them to take it seriously, right? Because if not, then, you know, just 10X down and do what you do well, which is be a realtor and we'll do the origination side. You know, it's a very rare breed that's very good at both, but it is a co-origination. But we actually want people a license to be an originator. We don't want this to be a RESPA violation. We want them actually going through the coursework and getting done. And to your point, like it's not easy, you know, especially someone that's not in it. Doesn't mean it can't be done. And and so it is, but it is a requirement for us, which keeps the bar pretty high. It keeps it, again, a very small batch and limited release.
It keeps your team at that high level, which, you know, I think is super important because, you know, if you're touching, if both people are working your one client, you're ultimately closing that client in your name. You still want to have, you know, the PRMG positivity. Gosh, I feel like we could go. You touched on RESPA. So let's touch on RESPA really quickly, because I think there's just so much to unpack in how this could affect lenders. And I think the piece that hasn't fully been baked out yet is like, what are the regulators going to say about this? What are the investors going to say about this? I know FHA came out with some guidance. You know, what do you kind of see happening as far as how this could impact just lenders in general?
Yeah, I had a chance to work with your, you know, your compliance team and your ops team, and, you know, you guys have a great team. So you guys know your stuff. I mean, the RESPA violation is really the biggest one, right? Like if you're, I mean, the underwriting guidelines did not change. You know, Fannie and Freddie are, you know, very, you know, consistent on seller concessions. VA, they may have to change their guidelines, right? Because they don't allow buy-side commission for the agent to be an allowable cost for veterans. And that's tough because, you know, we put our veterans first, you know, your company and ours. And, you know, this is not fair to them to not, you know, to only have the option to force the sell side to pay for it, because it's always been that way. Right. And so, you know, so I think that guideline will have to change. I know the Veterans Administration is working on it. They're having internal discussions. And then, you know, the Mortgage Banker Association, our industry's largest lobby group, working with the GSEs, working with, you know, VA, FHA and everybody. So, I don't think too much is a big deal other than that, VA guideline. And, of course, you know, whether it's a RESPA violation, we do feel, again, an originator getting licensed, or if you're dealing with the broker owner and you're setting up some kind of JV or MSA, then that doesn't require licensing. So then now you've got, you know, an agreement company to company. That's that, which there's some shelter with, you know, LLCs or S corps or whatever. There's some corporate veil there that shields some of the liability. And so again, you know, we'll see what the CFPB says, and who knows? I mean, you know, the CFPB changes all the time, different administrations, different directors, and, you know, it's like, you know, the same, the rules almost never change. The enforcement does, you know? And so, but I do know the CFPB does have consumers and, you know, best interest in mind. And so I think the settlement, it is a protectionist ruling in the court, in favor of a consumer. And so, and so will it be abused at this point? I don't think so. You know, I mean, your company, our company, we do the right thing. We do people, mm-hmm. You know, we do right by people. So I think we're in a good spot. I think we're in a good position.
How do you feel about, because you mentioned fairness, and I see it a lot on, I'm sure you see it on social media too, is this isn't fair to the buyers because affordability is already an issue. Coming up with a down payment and closing costs is already a struggle. Now we're going to tack on, you know, buyer's agent commissions. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's on the margin. It's gonna price some people out of the market, mm-hmm. potentially. So you know there is a problem there, but the affordability issue has been an issue for quite some time. We don't have enough housing supply at the lower end. We have high interest rates, although we've come down from the peak in the fall, you know, of 23, November and December. We've come down quite a bit from 8% rates. And as rates continue to trend down throughout the rest of the year, and then, you know, the Fed will eventually cut rates, which will bring, you know, treasury yields down even further. Affordability does get better. And so I will say that is your biggest affordability issue. But yeah, I mean, you know, if the seller's not liking the offer and they're not going to pay, you know, a certain amount and the bar has to come up with cash, it's just one more.
Mm-hmm.
He said added to the largest homeownership hurdle out there, which is the down payment. You know, so did costs just go up even more for borrowers? I can tell you that's the number one thing that mm-hmm. regulators are looking at in this whole deal. It's like, shoot, you know, it was working before. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, now that it can't be set in stone, the seller always pays for it. This is potentially another cost that will absolutely hurt borrowers. And, you know, unintended consequences, you know, that's what our industry is always about. You know, we're constantly dealing with that.
Yeah, that's the truth. Well, for all of the, you know, we have loan officers and we have agents listening. Do you have any tips or advice or, you know, how should they kind of handle the next couple of months as all of this is changing?
Well, you know, sales at its core is just communication. Okay. And so who's communicating at scale? You know, are you listening to Diana Olick on CNBC, who's basically said housing has sucked for 20 years? When, by the way, if you've owned a house for even 3 or 4 years, you've just completely changed the wealth of your entire multi-generational, you know, family's lineage. So what are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Listen to a local expert. Listen to the local originator. Listen to the local realtor. And then for those local originators and realtors that are listening to us right now, you need to get better at communicating at scale. You've got to get the word out there. You have to debunk myths about this. You need to talk about what's working for you. Highlight your successes in your transactions. I negotiated successfully this deal for my borrower that the seller paid for the commission. And here's why. Because that seller could count on me and my originator, Atlantic Bay, that we were going to get this done. We were going to make sure they got the deal done. We got to the table. We didn't waste someone's time. And so how do you communicate at scale? I mean, social media is a great way to do it. I'm a huge fan of Social Coach. I know I mentioned that to you.
Mm-hmm.
I love that app. It's got a compliance piece in it and it does the communication and the social media piece. You know, you and I can't, you know, we got kids. We can't remember to like always post all the time, but you can schedule your posts and get some good videos cut up and some good content. And so that's still my number one piece of advice for originators and realtors is, you know, get out there on social media. You get what you pay for on social media. You can't just stick your phone out in front of your nose and be like, hey, it's free. You know, well, someone's outworking you. Someone's getting more engagement because they have paid a little bit of money for a better video and a better presentation and a better way to get out the word and communicate at scale. So that's still my number one investment for realtors and originators alike. And again, just Don't be quiet. Don't be a stranger. Don't be silent. Just get out there, speak. People want to hear you. You're the expert. They've got questions and you never know who's lurking and watching and waiting to give you a transaction if you stay top of mind. And the easiest way to do that is through social media.
I love that. I couldn't have paid you to say that. That was fantastic. Well, I'm going to ask you one last question because I know we're coming up on time and we ask every single guest this one question, and you can take it however you want to take it. But how do you plan on lending it forward for the rest of 2024?
Well, I think for us, we're staying purchase transaction focused. And so for us, first-time home buyers and building that trust in the community, that is the best way to grow our business long-term. So beyond 24, that first-time home buyer could become a referral source if you serve them well. Of course, they may have other properties they buy, refinances for sure, you know, maybe even as soon as six payments, right? You know, if the Fed cuts the rates and rates continue to trend down, loan amounts are as large as they've ever been. I mean, literally. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't take much. It's like maybe just a half a percentage point in rate reduction to make a net tangible benefit for first-time home buyers. So we're trying to tell borrowers, get in the house now, because as soon as rates go down, there's going to be a lot more demand out there, people looking for houses, and house supply for now is very constrained in many, many markets. So don't wait, get out in the house, go get it done, consult with your local originator realtor. And again, we're just staying purchase focused.
Great. I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Lending Forward. We might have you back because you're so much fun.
Thank you. You know, I love the team, and thank you, Hannah. Take care of those little boys. You know,
I will.
get ready for summer.
I know. I have my hands full for sure. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram at Lending Forward, on YouTube, and LinkedIn. Tune in next week for another new episode and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSconsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer. Located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23452.